Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we come together and your presence is with us, Lord, you work in our midst, on us collectively and individually. Lord, for you, nothing is impossible. And for those that walk with you, it's the same thing, because you work out the things that need to be worked out if they are listening and open. We thank you and praise you, Lord. I ask you that you just let your word go forth this morning, Lord, with anointing and power to make an impact, to make a difference, to break, Lord, hold from people that cannot get closer to you, so that they can get intimate with you as they hear the truth and receive it in their heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to continue on the series that I was started a couple of weeks ago. Really now it's starting to be evident what the Lord is doing. And what he's doing is really the title of this series, which is Knowing God. God wants you to know him in a personal way, because he wants to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with you. Everybody. That's what he created us for. And if we just understand some basic things that are contrary to the things that we have learned in the world from everybody that doesn't understand and doesn't have that relationship, then you're going to be able to see and have not just a confirmation that God is real, but that God is there with you all the time, and he's not far away. He's always there, as he promised. You don't need to pray, Lord, please be with me, because he can get rid of him. The only way to do that is to start doing your own thing. Praise the Lord. All right. So let me talk about something, you know, about knowing God. You know, the word knowing, start with, you know, in English, there is a problem because it's just knowing is everything, you know, they're just one word. In Greek, unfortunately, there are different words so that they have different, you know, shades of understanding that enables us to understand certain things that are essential when it comes to spiritual things. Because the spiritual things are not physical. And we are not used to think physically. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, so we need to really understand the right way, to know the right way. Okay, and the word know in this case is gnosko. Okay, which actually means not just knowing in your head. Is knowing experientially. If God says, I am with you, you don't just know the scripture and get anywhere. You have to experience the scripture. God wants you to experience his presence with you. He is real, just as real as any of those chairs that you have around you, any of this wall here, just as myself talking to you. He's just as real and more solid than we are. And so he wants us to have that perception. We have to come to the place in which we are not thinking abstractly about God anymore, but actually we are actually relating in a personal, intimate way. And this is the objective of this series. And I believe that if you listen, the Holy Spirit is just showing me stuff that is going to give you breakthroughs that you never had before. I generally don't say these things, but I know that this is the truth because that's what's working in me too. I mean, I've been close to God for more than 40 or 50 years. And, you know, as he's showing me this stuff, you know, almost instantaneously, my relationship changes. Each thing is shown. See, that's the way it works. Not the word by itself. The letter of the word does kill. It's the spirit of the word that gives life. But to get the spirit of the word, you need to get the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You have to connect with the Holy Spirit because without the Holy Spirit, it's only words. It's only ideas. Men, ideas have no power. They can do things in the physical, but they are very limited. God's words, if you release the power inside them, create the world. They create the universe. That's what the dimension of difference. I mean, it's not just an order of magnitude. It's infinite more powerful than anything you can think. And it's available to us if it's in us. We need to have that experiential knowledge of his power. I go back to the scripture from Psalm 103, verse 8. There it says, you know, and he showed his ways to Moses. And he says to the children of Israel, don't be like the children of Israel. They died in the desert. You can see the power of God moving in the place and moving in other places, but not touching you. Doesn't do much good. Doesn't give you victory. Because you think it's going to work for somebody else, it's not going to work for you. You had to get yourself that power. You had to experience that power so that you know it's not something that somebody is preaching about. Or somebody that you are reading someplace. Or somebody that you're reading in the Bible. Reading in the Bible doesn't do it. If you do it, then people in the Old Testament wouldn't have any power. They didn't have any Bible, especially at the beginning, they had nothing. And they had a better relationship than 95% of the Christians today, probably even more. We should be better than they were. If you are born again, we are already better than them. If you are born again and spirit-filled, we are not even talking about a bit. We are talking about orders of magnitude better. Are we? What's wrong with us? The immersion in the world, the thinking of this age has affected our brain and our heart to close it to the power of God. Are you listening what I'm saying? Okay. So how do you know things? I'm going to just take my time here because if I rush it through, you cannot get it. You cannot connect what I'm saying. So I'm going to take all my time that I need. Okay. How do you know about anything? How do you learn about things? Well, if a physical thing, like say for example, ice cream. I can tell you what the ice cream is like. You can read about ice creams on all the books and the cookbooks and everything else. How do you know to do it? You can take pictures of it or look at it. Doesn't do any good. You don't know what an ice cream is like until you eat it. Then you got the whole picture. You see, knowledge is not, we don't have a full knowledge of things. We don't have full knowledge, thank you, Lord. We don't have full knowledge of the reality around us. Because our knowledge depends on our senses. Okay? But that doesn't tell the whole story because our senses are not connected with everything, all the truth. How can our senses, just, you know, touching and hearing and so on, be connected with God that is not physical? How can you connect with God on the physical? You are just like the Jews and they got nowhere. When Jesus came and they missed it. Are you following me? Any religious person is based on the physical things. You had to get to a place in which you connect with God, how? In spirit and in truth, like John 4:24 says. So this is the thing that's going to make all the difference. In spirit and in truth. And you have to understand what that means. There has to be a connection there that is greater than your intellect. It's not based on Bible study. It's based on actual interaction with Him. This is what happened at the beginning with Adam. That's what happened with most of the people at the beginning. They didn't have a Bible, and they have much more power than we have. We have a problem. We should be better off, because something has to, I mean, if Jesus, what Jesus did, we should be in a better position to connect with Him than they were. Are you still with me? So we have to understand that. Okay, knowledge is by degree. And you know, the way we acquire knowledge by degrees is the more senses get involved, the more, you know, the more getting in our memory, in our eyes, our hearing, and so on, our thinking, our logic, you know, the more knowledge we get. But that's not enough. You cannot get knowledge of God that way. The only knowledge of God you're going to get, you're going to know about God. Somebody has said that, but you have not a clue. Don't waste your time. There is not enough time now. The time is short. Don't waste your time going that way. If you want to make it for what is coming, decide to seek the Holy Spirit and connect with the Holy Spirit, because He is the only one that can give you information and understanding about God. That's His job. You see, it doesn't come by your physical senses. It doesn't come by your intellect. What does it come from? Revelation. Actual God speaking and giving you understanding supernaturally, because that's the only, that is in spirit and in truth. That's the way you worship Him. There is no truth in the information that we have down here. In your mind, there is always limitations. But when you have the truth, the only way to have the truth is through the Holy Spirit. It's not by your analytical abilities or getting all information. The more information you get, the more confused you're going to be. Because this will start to be, you know, just like you read a book in theology, what they do? They tell you the 10 different interpretations. Sorry, there is not an interpretation story here. What is important is the truth. That's the only thing that counts. You're wasting time. And there is no time to waste anymore. Now, so, see, knowing things in the physical, like ice cream, you can see, you can relate that very simply because that's an experience you actually have. You know the difference between actually when you say, oh, I know ice cream. You know, that's all you have to know. But, you know, even after you taste it, you don't have the whole knowledge. Because it's still limited. I mean, you may find out after a while eating ice cream all the time that you don't feel well in the stomach anymore. So what does it tell you? Well, there is a now new piece of information and you have more knowledge of the ice cream. Are you following me? I mean, is so difficult with an ice cream. What about with a person? How are you going to know a person? Whoever that person is. Okay. You may have an interaction at the beginning and you may like it or dislike him. And so, you know, according to that, you take a certain position. Like, you know, that's what knowledge brings about. You start making some judgment about that particular thing or that particular, you know, the ice cream tastes good, but doesn't consider the fact that it's messing up your stomach. Well, then you find out that messing up your stomach and your judgment changes. Why? Because it's not good for me. It tastes good, but it messes me up. Are you following me? Same thing with people. I mean, you find somebody and you find maybe the person attractive is a good speaker or is, you know, or she is, looks nice and, you know, whatever. And you just, well, you're attracted to that person. You want to connect with them. You want to have a relationship. And you find out that he's a jerk. So what you do? You just pull away. You see, the judgment before was wrong based on partial information. Now, you know, you get more information. You say, no, that doesn't good. This is a way to get hurt, getting closer. Now, you see how difficult it is to know the truth at the level, at the physical level, with a thing and with a person. Now we are talking about interacting, knowing somebody that we cannot see, you know, possibly when we start, we don't hear much from him. I mean, we don't have a clue. We don't know when he speaks or whatever. You know, we don't have any information. Tell me how you're going to know him. For what you read in the books? For what you read in the Bible? That's the beginning. It's like when I was saying, you know, you can look at the ice cream, you know, touch it, smell it, or whatever, but you don't have the most important thing is the taste, but you don't even have your reaction from it. Well, when it comes to God, you have not a clue where you start. You have some basis. The basis is this word. Okay? We are a much advantage. You see, with that, with the Bible, you have a Bible, maybe 10 Bibles at home, different translations, you know. You got them all there. So you are a much better place than anybody in the Old Testament. I mean, you are better off than Moses. You're better off than, you know, any of the Adam at the beginning, especially after he fell. I mean, it was a real mess. At the beginning, it was much better. But even then, he was limited. Are you following what I'm saying? So now we talk about having a relationship with God of somebody we don't see. The only thing we do sometimes, you know, we hear somebody preaching about him and so on before we get born again. You know, when we get born again, we should have actually an experience that we get in contact with God and we start seeing and we start perceiving and we start receiving things from him. The thing is, generally, they don't talk to you about that. They just talk about the religious activity that you had to do. That are completely immaterial. They don't do any difference. Actually, they put you in bondage because you had to do something and something else and something else. That's nothing to do with your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is having a relationship with him, connecting with him, hearing and being dealt by him and dealing with him. Some people don't even know what that means. You know, even prayer. Prayer is just speaking, hoping that gets up to the heaven. Doesn't need to get out anywhere. That's going to come later. Okay, so to know a person, okay, we had to, reading about them doesn't do anything. You had to, you know, for example, your spouse. You want to have a closer relationship with your spouse. That's why God made us in that way. God made us relational beings that he is. Okay. So to have a relationship with a spouse, we need to interaction, exchange, you know, experiences, result of experiences, you know, and that's how you decide to become a couple. Okay. So the closer and more intimate the relationship is, you know, the better you know each other. Some people can stay together. There is no communication. They don't know each other at all. Okay? There has to be communication. Okay? And the more communication is there, more understanding of each other is, more experience about each other, you know, the more is going to be a unity, a connection, working together, being together, being one. Relationship bring us to unity. Now, okay. What we do, what the people do in a relationship have an effect on the judgment I said before, I'm talking about the other person. It determines the attitude we have toward the other person. So you can see that we can change the relationship we have with somebody, and that means with God, according to the relationship that we have with that person. God is a person. So we can change that by according to the way we act and react. The experience we have as a result of our action. Now, God is perfect. We aren't. Okay. We have lots of messed up ideas, judgment about things that come from the world. So what's the result of that? Sometimes we do the wrong thing, and God doesn't change, so you just, you know, the relationship could get cooler and not as good. This is why you see sometimes people just born again. And God moves in their lives so powerfully. They get instantaneously or instantaneously delivered from bondage, the drugs and stuff like that. Then they get into the world, they get into religion, and they get nothing. And old Christians get mad because, you know, God deals with them in such a way, you know, bring a healing, and I don't get anything because I can't even get over a sniff or a cold. Well, that's ignorance going to seed. Okay, that's just stupidity because they don't understand, and so they end up coming to the wrong conclusion because they don't know him, period. If they would know him and the way he acts, the way his ways, then they would have no problem. Because they would understand there wasn't God the problem. The problem is theirs. And you can learn that by study. You can learn by experience. You can learn what to do, but, you know, it has to be a ginosko experience. I'm going to stress that. That has to do with revelation. This is the way the church is based. The church is based on the revelation that Jesus is who he is, and he did what he did. You know, and logically, doesn't make any sense whatsoever to the world. It's foolishness to the world. Just telling somebody, if the Holy Spirit doesn't touch them, forget it, they're going to laugh in your face. Okay? But with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, it's a completely different story because that changes what? As I said before, the same as the ice cream. It changes your judgment about that thing, and the judgment changes your position, your attitude concerning that. And, you know, if you want to get close to somebody physically, I mean, some, you know, maybe a future spouse or somebody you want to befriend or somebody they want to, you know, you have to have the right attitude toward them because otherwise they're not going to respond. They're not going to want to be close to you. If you are there cranky and bad mood and, you know, you talk to them in a disrespectful way, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to react the same way to you, and the thing is going to be not really a pleasant connection. You know, connections in the world were given to us so that we can understand the connection with God. Now, God and is always perfect. He always do the right thing. He always, see, that's something we have to accept as given before we can actually experience it. Because why? Because we are limited. We have been cut off from the knowledge. And so until you are born again, you have to really, when you are born again, you should have changed that attitude toward God. If your attitude toward God is not changed, unfortunately, lots of people that, you know, have been born again, that hasn't changed because there is so much junk and religion and worldly ideas that they see God the wrong way. If you don't see God the right way, forget it, you cannot have a relationship with him. If your relationship with God is not good, it's because you have a bad image of God. And that's why this I'm talking about here is knowing God, so that if you know God the way he is, and I pray the Holy Spirit, you know, is working here at the moment. Pray the Holy Spirit is bringing revelation, not the word, my words. My words are limited. I cannot give you the revelation I have. I can try to express it. And the revelation I have is not complete. But it's growing. But I know that has an effect on my relationship with the Father. And even recently, what happens because of the relationship that he's giving me, my relationship is growing like crazy. Okay? I mean, practically. Not in just about feeling the goosebumps. It's about results. It's about things happening. See, that's when you start seeing results happening, not once in a blue moon, but all the time. That's what Jesus said. Now, you know, in some areas, I'm getting it practically all the time. Some other areas, because of my unbelief, I don't. But he's fixing that up. And when you find out the areas of unbelief, you work on them and you demolish them and you destroy them because you know that they are robbing you from what God wants to do. Okay. Now, but the more we understand him, the more we know him. And the more, okay, we are going to be able to connect with him because we know what to do. And we get information, and we get the benefit of the relationship. See, generally, relationships are mutually beneficial. If there is no mutual benefit in the relationship, you don't want to be in it. There has to be a purpose. Okay? Maybe there's not, maybe even not a personal benefit, but, you know, there has to be some benefit coming out. See, God created us like himself. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That means we are similar to him. Not exactly the same, but in his likeness. And let them have dominion, so he have dominion too, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over all the creeping creatures of the earth. And God created man in his image. In his image, God created them, male and female. See, that was already a relationship that's, you know, established. See, they had to learn somewhere how to connect. Now, okay, so God made us like him. So he is like us, in a way. Otherwise, we could not connect with him. I mean, you know, take a hunt, you know, just those, or a bug. I mean, you can look at the bug, you can figure out what it is. You cannot connect. You can have a relationship with the bug. unless you are bad. Okay? Do you agree with that? Okay, so if he wants us to connect with him, you know, it's talk about worship him in spirit and in truth. That means, you know, you have to the ability to operate in spirit and in truth. You cannot have truth in your mind. In your mind, it's always limited, and so the truth is unlimited, it's complete. You believe something today, and the truth, you find out, well, that's not quite completely accurate, and you add up some things, but they're always there to the end, the completion of the things. But in your spirit, you have the truth. Jesus said the truth. And Jesus said that you read the word, my word to speak to you, you know, you stay in my word is in you, and you should know the truth. Not an idea, an understanding, an interpretation. You know, and you don't question of finding different, accepting a different theory. You don't even care about the theories. The theories are a waste of time because this is doctrines of men. What you want to know is the truth, only the truth, nothing else but the truth. You want the truth because that's what set you free. Now, okay. When God created us, his intention was to have a relationship with us. And he made us in such a way that we can have a relationship with him. And he gave us free will. That means we can make our own decision. He's not going to interfere. He can let you do anything, including going to hell. And he's not going to intervene with there. Because he has some expectation from you. And the expectation is for you to line up with him. That was his expectation before with Adam, and Adam broke the thing. And so, you know, even after Adam broke the relationship and broke the expectation of God, had, you know, he loved Adam enough to want to overcome that and want to fix the problem because he realizes some things that we are going to see in a minute. Now, you know, the way we connect to God is in prayer. Prayer is nothing else than communication with God. But lots of people pray and they think that they are praying and has to go through to the heavens. God is not up there. God is everywhere. Doesn't have to go anywhere. Where it goes, though, depends on you. If you believe that God hears you, he hears you. If you don't believe that God hears you, he just plugs his ears. Because God works by our faith when he deals with us. He expects us to believe in him and believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you don't believe that, well, you're wasting his time praying, your time praying. You have to get to the place in which you become a believer to be able for him to live, to hear. That doesn't mean you know all the Bible. You know, it's natural, according to the way we were made by God, for us to believe in God. It's rebellion that brings us not to believe, and that becomes stronger and stronger. When somebody is really in a death of life situation and see the thing coming, most of the people say, God help me, even if they're atheist. Why do you think is that? Because that truth, they know it anyway. They're shutting it out all the time because their mind wants something else. They're in rebellion. So it doesn't matter what you're ideas are, the moment when you reach out and say, my God, that moment the heart is working. You don't need to read all the book of the Bible to reach out to God. You know, I reach out to God not by reading the Bible. I didn't have a Bible. I just was seeking and he reached out to me. That's what he wants from us. Okay. Now, Adam and Sadat, the relationship I'm talking about, yeah, you know, dealing with, reacting with God, talking with God, just like God was there. They were going together in the garden, talking and sharing things and telling things, and God was teaching him things. Okay? God just doesn't go around wasting time. And so, you know, he didn't have the whole information. He didn't have all wasn't prepared. When the temptation came, he wasn't equipped properly to say, wait a minute, that's not the way God sees it. Buzz off. No, he listened and he looked at the senses. And looked good. Makes sense, logically. But you know, God doesn't work by logic. He's supernatural. That means logic is the determination of the things we know by our senses, and there is consequences and action, you know, this chain of things. This is not the way it works. Because you don't know much about what's going on there except what? What you got revelation from. This is why the most important thing that you get the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know. Know, again, that word there. Our knowledge is important. Okay. And God still wanted a relationship with, oh, that's good, with Adam to take a step to reach out to him, even if he had rebelled, even if he went to the wrong way. Why? Because this is his character. It doesn't, you know, there is, you know, people learn about God from religion. There are 2,000 years of religion and also before that were affecting the mind of people, you know, so that they believed in a God that is not the God he is. Okay. God is love. He's loving. He's creation. He wants, you know, if you give him a chance, he'll save everybody. But he can't. Because when they have rebellion in their heart, he cannot do anything. He cannot touch them because he has to be just, and he's just. See, when we start understanding God's justice, the way it's balanced, and I believe that by the end of this series, you know, that's going to be clear for everybody. That anything that happens is just in this world. Today, with the mess it is just. Is the just consequence of what was done before. And he cannot touch it. He expects us to touch it. But you know, you cannot do anything in your in yourself. Jesus could not do anything in himself. He said, in I myself, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing. You think that you're going to be able to do something better than he? So the idea is pretty clear. Unless we learn to operate the way Jesus operated, not according to rules like the Jews operated, but according to the connection of the Holy Spirit or the connection with the Father that he had, then we are not going to be able to be the people God wants us to be. We are going to be just religious people trying to do the right thing. We don't do the right thing. We should be the right thing. You're still there. Okay, I mean, it's wonderful the way God is. But God is God is never mad with anybody. And I'm not believing in this, false doctrine of hyper-grace. That's heresy. I believe, though, that, grace is available to everybody who repent. Repentance is the basis, has never changed. God always worked the same. I mean, it's God's way or the highway. That's the bottom line. There is no other way. He is not compromising. He is not like man. But at the same time, he is kind, he is just, he is gracious, is merciful, is everything in a way that we cannot understand because our information is limited. We have been reading Psalm 103, and I hope that I'll be able to do a bit more today because that psalm, how many have been meditating on Psalm 103? Keep doing it. Because, if you can't memorize it, because it's not a memorization, it's going to give you revelation, but, you have to think about it. You had to meditate on it because that's the way you had to spend time with it. Because when you spend time with the Word, you spend time with God. And even if it doesn't talk to you, He's going to, you're getting closer, at least physically. And by the time you got close enough physically, you're going to see that the spiritual things are going to start happening. This is why, meditation is critical. It's not just New Age stuff. This meditation was the basis of all the relationship with God that they had from the beginning. How can you? God is not there physically. How you have to be? How you get to Him? You have to get there with your heart, with your mind, with your thinking, and just connect to. And now we have the Word. That is something that so we don't need to meditate on anything. We just have that to direct us in how our thinking should be. Are you still with me? Okay. So, see, when Jesus was born, the angel said it very clearly. I mean, this is a message that should be sticking with the church, but it doesn't. Okay. They have preacher, famous preacher, who God is angry with the, is mad with the sinners. Sinner, but it's completely theologically junk. I don't care how famous these people are. This is contrary to the Word. And if it's contrary to the Word, we too should reject it. God is not mad to anybody. He sent Jesus to die for those that are sinners. You sin some. If you're mad with somebody, what mad means, that you don't want good for them. God wants good of everybody, no matter how dirty sinners you are. So if you accept that, then you have to change your thinking because otherwise it's going to stop you. You're going to put you in a place in which you cannot get closer to God because you think He's mad at you. When instead He's like the father or the prodigal son that is there waiting. Come on, come here, come. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, and the angel announced it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Don't tell me they were all saved. Jesus ministered to everybody, healed everybody, didn't say, you're too much of a sinner, I cannot heal you. No, He healed them and says, go and sin no more, otherwise you get something worse is getting to you. What does it mean? God wants to heal them. They asked, and He even did it. But if they do the wrong thing, they get into the wrong place, and the enemy can do whatever he wants. Because God cannot protect them. Because He is just. But He is there for everybody. Me, you, everybody else, the greatest sinners out in the street. If we just say yes and accept Him. And start responding to his love by reciprocating with him, having a right attitude toward him. Because everything has to do with the attitude. You can say, oh, Lord, 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 you get close to me with your lips, but your heart is somewhere else, what you want. See, it's the heart, the problem, all the time, and that's what has to be changed. It doesn't change overnight for everything. Anyway, Jesus came and showed us the Father. And that, you know, his behavior is what he said. He was calling God the Father, and he said, well, he was Jesus. Jesus is our example. Jesus came to show us that we can do it because he did it. He didn't have the handicap that we have, but that's why he makes us born again. And when you're born again, there is no handicap, there is no justification, there is no excuse anymore. But your ignorance, our ignorance. Okay? So, you see, God is real. Jesus demonstrated it over and over again in his ministry. He taught us about him. He showed us the way he was like. You know, he said, you see me, you saw the Father. He told us how to pray, how to connect with him. He shows us how to connect. He connected with him. He said, you know, myself, I can do nothing, but I can only do the things that I see my Father doing. How do you think that was going to happen? That he was, you know, having visions all the time, and it was telling him what to do? He didn't need to. Because he was connected. Now, you know God. You must know God. When if you know God, you know his power. See, know the scripture or the power of God. Without those two things together, you cannot get anywhere. Okay, it's not reading, hearing somebody talking about it. You know, that may be good at the beginning to show you that there is something there, but God was talking to you before. Otherwise, you hear this stuff and you think about the natural man, as I was reading last week, and as the natural man thinks it's foolishness of this stuff. That's the foolishness of the cross. So there has to be something there saying, no, 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 this is not foolish. This is the real stuff. Okay? So reading, hearing is not enough. Even going to church, you know, going to church is not a question of getting closer to God. The objective, you know, if you want to have a closer relationship with your spouse, you go in a public place with 50 people or you go one-to-one? How are you going to get closer with God? Jesus was going, when he was ministering to the masses, was getting closer to God. You think so? He was going by himself in the desert. He was going praying by himself in the night to connect with God and to charge up himself so that the following day he would be having enough to give away. Church is for us to come together and to minister to one another. Starting with the fivefold ministry, and then, you know, but the whole idea of church, if you didn't listen here, the message of last Thursday, you should listen to that, because that's the way that was prophetic, and that's the way it's going to happen in the future. Anyway, I wasn't planning to preach that. All right, let me continue here. So, God never changes, okay? And, you know, the Old Testament fathers, or at the beginning, okay, the early father and everybody else, the Old Testament, connected with God, the one that did, and you can see the relationship that they had, okay? How many were taken up just because they were walking with God today. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a church. But he had a relationship. It was such a good relationship that God said, you know, well, why you stick around here? Just come up. Let's have a good time together. You're ready. That's what's needed to... Anyway, we'll talk about... Now, what I want to say is this. The Holy Spirit is given to us to guide us. Okay, it's our GPS. You have a GPS in your car. The GPS tells you where to go. Okay? But there is a condition for that to work, for you to get to the right place. You have to listen to the GPS, you have to focus on that, and you have to, you know, follow this direction. It's exactly the same with the Holy Spirit. First of all, if you don't know that what the GPS is going to do, there is nothing you can do about it. You have it there, can guide you, can get you to the right place, and you just look, you know, trying to look at the map because you don't know that the GPS is going to put there to guide you. Okay? So you have to know, you have to have knowledge that there is a GPS in the car, and that's what it's for. Okay, that's the number one thing. Then you have to look at it and listen to it and obey him. Obey the GPS direction. That's exactly what you have to do with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you, and you say, oh, you read the scripture, oh, it's going to be all true. Yeah, yeah, lots of people read the scripture, but they don't believe anything what it says anyway. Guide you is not just a abstract thing. It means he's there guiding you. Telling you, turn right, turn left, go straight. This is not good, this is good. If you don't learn to listen to him when he speaks, for small things, you're not going to be able to listen to him for big things. Why? Because big things, you're already thinking about them. You got your own idea how to go about it, and you're going to think about yourself. You're going to keep quiet anything that is contrary to what you're thinking. But when you learn to listen for the small thing, and you see, oh, this stuff, you know, he's really here. Oh, he's really showing to me. He is reliable. I can trust him. As your trust increases, his ability to get across to you on bigger things becomes more and more evident. Because, I know I like to go that way. You know, I like to get that job. But the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 no. You know, I remember when I had to get into the ministry, you know, and I got accepted in the school to follow up, and I couldn't open the book. Now, for me, it's nothing easier to do than open books because I've been a student all my life. I could not do it. And I said, well, must be a reason, and I'm not going to do it. Now, after about 50 years, I know why. I wouldn't be here today talking, saying the things that I'm saying. Because they train you out of that. They train you, you know, if you go around with voices, you know, you are paranoid. Now, are you still with me? Okay, so we need to have that intimate relationship in which we can know that God is real and he is going to a personal relationship with us and he's going to be directing, guiding us through the Holy Spirit that he has given us. That means we have to learn to interact with him, to deal with him, and to be dealt by him. You know, when he says, no, 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 stop, you stop. You know, if your GPS says turn right, you don't turn left because you like the ice cream parlor that is there. Okay. Now, lots of people say, oh, this is really confusing. Okay, this is really strange, you know. you want me to be confused too. It was good for the Old Testament people. They didn't have a Bible. We have a Bible on which we can go to confirm all the revelation that we get. You see, not just every revelation we say yes, you know, and take it and swallow it. No, you go to the Word and you make sure that the Word confirms what you get, because God is not going to tell you anything that goes contrary to the Word. This is why we are in such a great advantage today. That's why there should be so many more true believers today than there were at the time before Jesus came. Because were the few people that dedicated themselves so much, you know, and that they really were determined to get to God and receive from God, and they had the anointing to do. Lots of people have the anointing, but they're too lazy or too lack of stamina, too lack of self-control, too lack of all this fruit of the Spirit to be able to get anywhere. It's not a question of being religious. It's a question of having it, making a decision to believe God. That's where it starts. Now, when you have an experience at the beginning, powerful experience, it's much easier to do that. Okay? And that's why it's so important, actually, to have an experience, to have experiences. You know, that's where experiences, where you get experiential knowledge. Knowing. Otherwise, you cannot know because you have not connected. Now, this knowledge thing is so important. And, you know, I don't know how much time we have. Time is running short, yeah. So I'm going to have, in 2 Peter chapter 1, talks about this, you know, and I preached many times before, but, you know, what I'm preaching now is getting much deeper than I did ever before. Because it's the time. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, "And his divine power has given us all things." Can you say all things? "That pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Okay. So, first of all, "And his divine power." So, he's not talk of men. He's not just thinking, rhetoric, or other things. What it is his power working on us. See, knowing the power of God. That's the way this is, you can get in touch with the power. See how God works. Not just seeing his act somewhere else, but seeing actually the way God works today in his power in the world, in your life, in the people around you. But it's more than the people around you, has to be with you, because you see somebody else and you just can't get it. Okay. His power, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, I mean, what do you think all things means? It means everything that has to do with life and godliness. Everything is there. He has provided all these things. And how has he done that? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Well, number one, you know, the first thing is to notice is this, that his divine power has given, is past tense. That means, you know, it's not something that you had to go and get. You know, it's not something that you had to ask God. Everything that was given is something that you had to take yourself by faith. Everything that is promised by God, if I promise you something and I don't give it to you, I'm a crook. If I promise to you, you should expect me to give it to you if I'm honest and I'm straightforward. Okay? Okay. So, if God promised to give, so said it, has given us these things, and we don't have them, what we have to do? Go and pick it up. How do you pick it up? By faith. You receive everything by God by faith. That means you decide to believe God, you decide to trust God, and you take it, yes, it's mine, you give it to me, thank you, I take it. That applies to everything: healing, deliverance, spiritual revelation, understanding, growth, everything. Operating on the gift, just anything that God does, it requires you to have faith to take it. It doesn't just follow me. Let it follow me. It doesn't happen that way. Okay? So that's important. We have to, so, you know, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, you know, all things, number one. Okay? The point is, has given us all things. Have you experienced all things yet? Let's be honest. Okay. So that means that in some way we have lots of things to take. Okay? And it's okay. Because we don't have all the knowledge of Him that we need to have. You see, in the areas that you actually have experiential knowledge, you are taking those things. Because you have experienced them. Because they are real to you. But the areas in which you don't have experiential knowledge, you can know the Bible says, by stripes I'm healed, but I am sick here. And, you know, we are in the world, so things happen. You know, I was sick, not yesterday morning, but last morning, but the night before, you know. And I was sick. I was really sick. And the morning, I went to bed, and not very well, but... you know, I woke up in the morning. God, what do I have to do? Told me what to do. Instantly healed. Why? Because I, instead of saying, God, please heal me, you know, I had to preach tomorrow. That's not what I did. I said, praise the Lord. I'm healed. And you're going to tell me what to do. The Holy Spirit is with me. And I start praising the Lord. And I start rejoicing. Didn't take too much. It's only something really crazy, but I did it, and it just got healed. I mean, he told somebody to put a fig on the wound, and they got healed. So, I mean, just as crazy as that. Wasn't a fig, but anyway. Are you following what I'm saying? See, He's there, but we had to learn to deal with Him instead of blaming Him, instead of, I can get it. Or, He's given and He's ours, but when we believe it, we had to hold on. You see, there is a perseverance, a persistence that we had to have to see the thing manifested, because that's an indication that your faith is there. If your faith is not there, you're starting to feel sorry for yourself. Poor little me. Well, poor little me doesn't get it. And then, you wonder why it's not working. You know, you had to get to the place where you know God enough to know that you can trust Him even when the world collapses around you. Doesn't matter what happens in the physical, because the spiritual is more powerful, because God is more powerful, because I'm a believer and all things are possible to them that believe. Praise the Lord. I had to finish this, so I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep you here for a while. Okay, so the knowledge. Let's talk about the knowledge. The word knowledge there is not ginosko, as I said before, it's epi-ginosko. So it's even more than just experience, experiential knowledge. It's full experiential knowledge. Means, actually, you know that what you have is an intimate, personal relationship, knowledge of Him in that particular area. So you have dealt with Him, He's there for you, you know what He's there about, you know what He's going to do, and you have vetted before, and you're going to get it again, because that relationship, it produces those results. So that's what we have to reach. That intimate place in which we are not based on the physical anymore. That means you are in pain, well, you believe God anyway, and doesn't affect you. And even after a while, if you do really that, probably the pain is not going to be there very long. And you know, given you authority, you know that it's yours. You say, go in Jesus' name, and it goes. Now, let's continue. Verse 4. 2 Peter 1:4 says, by which, what is which? What is which? The which here is, the knowledge of him. Okay? The knowledge of him is not that you know about Jesus. You have the knowledge of Jesus. Jesus' knowledge. Okay? We understand, we have the understanding that Jesus had about that particular thing. We had the relationship with the Father that Jesus had about it. So you see, the past tense, he has given us, but until in all the different areas that we need to experience yet, we may not get there. And we have to look at what's going on, and instead of say, oh, God doesn't want to do it for me, like most of the people do, you have to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm ignorant here. I lack in the relationship. I'm more connected with my physical body or my situation than with him. That's something, I need the revelation. God, give me some revelation so that I can understand it. Instead of, please do that what you've done already. That is asking for something you have not received yet. So you start receiving the revelation and you are going to see the things turning around. If you don't understand that, then you're not going to get things and you're going to blame God for it. Or going to feel sorry for yourself and you're going to get anywhere. And some people harden up their hearts and stop, the whole story stop there. Now, instead it says, by which have been given us, what? Exceedingly great and precious promises. You see, that's the way it works. The promise, a promise is not something that you already have. When he gives you a promise, it's because you don't have it and you have to take it. Okay, so, a promise needs to be taken like everything else from God. He said, you're going to have that. You have to take it. The way you take it is by faith. All promises, yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So it's by faith. Precious promises, through the promises. You see, that's the thing. We have to know what's available. We don't know exactly the way it's going to happen, but doesn't matter. It's not what happens is through him. Okay, the only thing we know is that we can get it, that he wants us to have it. He wants us to receive it by faith. That's the only way. The truth is, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, so through the knowledge that Jesus has, you need to get that knowledge. That means, how you get that knowledge? You know, by studying the Bible. It's not by knowing the scripture. It's not by quoting the scriptures. Is by getting revelation by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will talk to you and make that real. So that you becomes a reality. And in that moment, boom, you can get the instantaneous miracle, you can get anything. Okay? The promise, you see, must be appropriated, lambano, by faith. And actually, here it says, that even stronger than that, because the knowledge that you have with him is important. You see, the knowledge, your relationship with God is the basis for everything you get. Okay, that, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, people go and look, lust is, there's nothing else than connecting to one things in the physical. Or things that, by desire. Instead of looking at desire, you have to desire the healer, desire him, connect with him, and then those things are going to take in place because you get closer to him, you have to start understanding him. Okay. So, I think I have to stop here. Are you getting anything here? All right. So, what we want to do here is to acknowledge what God wants to do. Understand what depends on us. Because we need to understand we have a part in fulfilling God's plan. And the part of fulfilling God's plan is God is not going to do it. He expects us to do it. And so, and it's not that he wants us to be, this zealot religious person. He wants us to connect with him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him more than any of the other physical things that we do. Now, that is going to involve some physical things, like, for example, spending time with Him. I mean, you cannot develop a relationship with anybody on the earth by never seeing them, never talking to them, never communicating to them. So, you know, you start get the information about Him, you know, from the Bible, and start, you know, praying and start connecting with Him, and you get nowhere until, you know, something happens. You break through. You're going to get breakthrough and revelation in some specific area, and you're going to start seeing that when that happens, things change in the particular area. And then start coming into the rhythm of needing, asking, and getting. You know, the scripture says, you know, ask it shall be given, and so on. Everyone who asks, receive. Does everyone is like you or not? Ask to be you, because everyone who knocks shall be opened. So, you know, the idea is that's the first aspect, that's faith. Believing that that's going to work for you, that is faith. You had to make that choice. I know it doesn't look like it, doesn't matter. God said that, I believe that, and I stand on that. So you had to make that decision. I want you to make that decision today. If you really want to see that relationship with God increasing, that's the starting point. Don't think that this is going to happen all smooth, because the enemy is going to test you if you really want to give up or not. See, you cannot give up. You cannot quit. Because the moment when you quit, you are defeated. Because your unbelief takes over. And that is, God calls it, you know, ungodly. Evil art of unbelief. Why? Because your heart goes more on about the physical, the lusts they talk about. You know, you have escaped the corruption of the lust. Because you made that decision to believe, you're starting to get knowledge. And in the area that you have knowledge, the knowledge of God, you know that God is for you. Now, that's a basic thing. Trust, believe, God is for you. I can trust God. I can trust the Holy Spirit. I can trust the Lord, because He is going to guide me into all truth. That's what the Word says. He sent the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that scripture, that He sent the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth? Not just some of it. I mean, start with some, because that's the way we work. But start with some and give them some more and some more and some more. I want everything. You know, that kind of lust is okay. You see, but that lust involves that you are giving up all the other lust. Otherwise, there is competition. And God is jealous God. He wants to burn all the idols. So let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Holy Spirit and for Your Word, for Your love that You have for each one of us. Open our eyes, touch our hearts, that we may respond to Your love and manifest Your power, Your anointing, Your freedom, Your joy, everything for life and godliness that You have given us. Help us, Lord, not to be stuck with the thinking of the world, but to be able to think with the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.